What are you anticipating the premier's announcement to include when he makes it later today in terms of some of the regulations, some of the restrictions on the reopening of golf courses?
It's a good question, and it does seem like there are going to be a litany of restrictions, because although golf really lends itself to physical distancing and allowing people to continue to participate in a sport, in a physical activity that's good for both your physical health and certainly your mental health as well right now, getting out and having fresh air and seeing people, there is a lot of touch points. There's not as many sort of intimate touch points as in someone was going to be playing hockey or football or basketball or something like that. But there's still a lot of opportunities for virus spread. So although the government can't really tell individual business owners how they can run their business, they can certainly lay out a list of rules and regulations for proper spacing and proper interactions with other people. So the golf industry has had their two-ish weeks to prepare. Premier Doug Ford came out a couple weeks ago to say, hey, golf courses, you can start to get ready now to open. I'm anticipating that the premier will announce that golf courses can open this weekend. Other reporting from people who, you know, actually cover politics, I'm just a lonely golf reporter here, they've been saying that the date will be Saturday. So we will see what he ends up actually saying later on today. But certainly the golf industry has been preparing up to this point with a laundry list of rules and regulations. Still some questions remain about whether or not you can play with just one person. Are foursomes allowed? Obviously, carts will be allowed to be taken, as many golf courses aren't built for walking. But how will they be sanitized? Some questions remain, certainly, but you can bet that the golf industry is excited and eager to get open. So they've been preparing properly and safely for this moment.
Well, and what I wonder, Adam, is enforcement. There are 18 holes. You've got your starter at the first tee. But beyond that, how do you ensure that two people are keeping the appropriate distance? I suppose you could have security personnel whipping around in carts, and if you catch people breaking the rules, I don't know, maybe you fine them or whatever the case may be. I just wonder how strictly these things can be enforced.
Yeah, and I don't think that that they can be enforced per se. But what is an opportunity here is that golf course owners could be the ones that are, you know, taking a lead on this, advocating to show that that there's business leadership and community responsibility as well. I mean, the golf course owners themselves, they don't want their businesses shut down. They don't want to be the cause for another sort of black eye on the sport that is already perceived as elitist amongst another bunch of different adjectives. They want to continue to drive their business forward. And this is a unique opportunity for them to be open. You know, restaurants are still not open, movie theaters, concerts, et cetera, et cetera. But golf courses have a chance to start driving some revenue in a sport where the margins are pretty small and there are a bunch of small businesses. So enforcing the rules is going to be a pretty tricky thing, but you have to just hope that the business owners themselves, that being the golf course general managers and owners, will be the ones doing the policing, and they'll have an opportunity to show that business leadership and show that responsibility in the community.
Adam Stanley is our guest, a golf writer for the Globe and Mail. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I've heard a number of things. So some golf courses might not even have a starter. Some might not even have a check-in. Everything will be done online. How much are the golf courses going to kind of take out of the whole, I guess, you know, coming into the golf course when you drive in, you're not going to see the same amount of people working there, correct?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the good thing that golf courses in Ontario have is that they have a laundry list of best practices from other provinces that have already been open, but also other states in the U.S., of course, that have never been closed. So you can look to Arizona or Florida or other states like that where they've had golf this whole time. So you can easily see, okay, what are they doing and how can I adapt my facility to what somebody has been doing and doing well over the last 2 months. So I think it's going to be really up to each individual facility as to how they're going to manage it. You know, it's 2020, so you have to assume that almost every golf course has an online booking system. You would also have to assume that every golf course has some kind of digital payment method or mobile payment method or online payment method. So that will reduce the number of human touch points that one has upon arrival at a golf course. You know, other than that, it's just going to be education. It's going to be, okay, you've got your tee time. Here's an email. Go here for your carts. Driving ranges aren't going to be open. Practicing is going to be at a minimum. You can roll a few putts, but please wait in your car until 10 minutes before your tee time. Those are all things that I've heard up to this point. But what I will say is that there are many examples of golf courses and golf facilities that have been open for a very long time, at least the whole duration of this COVID-19 shutdown, where they can start to learn and adapt from.
And I'm hearing now that there are not going to be any rakes in the bunkers, and there is nothing that bothers me more than footprints and players that do not rake the bunker. Can we please not put rakes on the carts and they take the rake and rake it after?
I mean, yes, is the short answer, but I don't know of any golf course that has a rake per person, I think would probably be the issue. I think if you've got a twosome, then the two guys can go out and take their own cards and their own rake, and I think that works. And
yeah, I've seen it on the carts.
I did see somebody in England, I believe, who was selling personal rakes. It's like a little attachment that you can screw on the back of your wedge or your grip, and then unscrew it when you're done, and you can rake down your footprint. So again, we have much to wade through and navigate, I think, as it relates to some of the minutiae of golf and golf in this province. But I think people are just going to be, like you guys said a few minutes ago, so excited and champing at the bit to get out there and play that, you know, a couple of footprints in the bunker, I think, will be a pet peeve for many, but I think they'll get over it knowing that they can actually go out and play again.
Yeah, just don't go in there, right? I think that's what Scotty was ready to tell me.
Yeah, well, that plus, ball marks on the green, too. Like, just
one of the worst.
Lift those out, please.
I love the fact when they changed the rule to keeping the pin in, you can putt with it, and now apparently you're not going to be allowed to touch the pin at all.
Yeah, they've really gone hard on leaving the pin in. So that's going to be another thing, you know, is there going to be cups upside down, cups raised, noodles in the green, like a little attachment to flip the ball out of the cup. You know, golf, as we know it, is going to look very different in this province for the foreseeable future. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still hitting the ball in a field, and it's exciting for a lot of people in this province.
And is it true we're going to go to just twosomes? They're not going to do any more foursomes?
That I don't know. I mean, it would be difficult to enforce a business to say, okay, you can't have this many people out there playing. And certainly the golf courses that have been open for much longer have foursomes playing. It would be much more difficult. And I think it would be a positive optic thing if they said, no, we're not going to have that many people allowed on a hold. But I can't confirm either way if they're going to say no foursomes.
Adam Stanley is our guest covering golf for the Globe and Mail. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Adam, is there any update on the status of the 2021 RBC Canadian Open? We know that St. George's in Etobicoke was to host this year. That was canceled. St. George's is to host again in 2024. Is it a fait accompli that they will get 2021, or is that still up in the air?
For now, it remains up in the air, but what just needs to happen is almost a formality as it relates to the membership vote. So it's not official. There's no, okay, you didn't do it this year, we'll just roll it into next year. The membership still has to say and decide, okay, fine, we're fine to give up our golf course again next year for the week plus that it is, to take on the hosting duties of the RBC Canadian Open. So I would say it does seem to be that the 2021 RBC Canadian Open will head back to St. George's, almost a formality at this point with respect to the membership vote. But you never know. I mean, this year they're going to lose some of the time because of COVID-19 that they can't actually go out and play on their golf course. But it does appear as if the members and the partners, that being RBC, Golf Canada, and the PGA Tour, are keen to make it happen again there for next year. The players love that golf course. It's a spectacular facility as well. And I think it would be a wonderful host for the Canadian Open next year.
Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning are favored to beat Mickelson and Tom Brady. What are you expecting to see in that match at the end of the month?
Yeah, I'm excited to see those boys get back to it, and certainly this weekend as well with the Rory and DJ and Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf matchup as well at Seminole. I think it's exciting to know that we've got some live professional sports on the calendar over the next couple weeks. And, you know, I was at Tiger Phil number one in Las Vegas, and I got to see how that unfolded. You know, the golf was not great, to be honest. So I'm hoping and assuming that with this extra layer of competitiveness between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, it'll elevate everybody, especially since the last Tiger Phil match happened at the very end of the year. It was around Thanksgiving weekend in the U.S. And this is, you know, the guys are coming off a 2-3 month break. And obviously Peyton and Tom Brady aren't professional golfers themselves. So what I'm expecting is to see some fun, some good chirps. I think Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson have already earned a one-up win so far in the chirping department. But I think it's just going to be a great event for charity, for viewers, for fans of the game. And certainly I'm got my fingers crossed that we're going to see some better golf than Tiger Phil Volume 1.
Who do you think's going to win?
I actually think I was big into Tiger winning Volume 1. I actually think Phil and Tom Brady are going to take it this time. You know, I don't think that Phil is going to let Tiger even the score, if you will. So I've got a feeling that Phil and Tom Brady are going to take this one.